It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, a ministry of Torso. And today is the 30th of May. May God bless you. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Where is that found? Psalm 118:24. And then Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask that your Spirit will teach us the things we need to know by anointing the words of our pastor, filling him with your Spirit, and helping us always to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. Lift up your head.
The title of our worship today is True Education. True Education is the title of our worship for today. We're reading Acts chapter 18, many themes. We just usually choose one theme from the chapter, to make as our title, but we're reading through Acts 18 and discussing it and pulling out the principles that are a blessing to us and needful for us in these last days. All right, my brothers and sisters, let's dig right in after prayer. Father, be with us this morning. But first of all, accept our praise, accept our blessing. For the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2 and 3. Father, we pray that you would be with us now and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Brothers and sisters, when persecution comes, persecution can never stop the gospel. It spreads the gospel. Even if you can't share it in one locale, God will cause, or when God's people tend to centralize, then God causes persecution to cause them to spread out and share the gospel in other areas. And that's important. Let me make sure I'm still on the call. Yeah, still on the call. And so that's important. We see that. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now, this is why I call this true education. You see, false education teaches you need to get a degree so you don't have to work with your hands. That's what false education teaches you. False education teaches you need to get an advanced degree so you don't have to get your hands dirty in the dirt, and like agriculture is considered a low-life pursuit. Let all the agricultural workers stop and let's see what happens in rich people's homes. They depend on the agriculture to eat. So my brothers and sisters, in God's true education plan, the gospel, God's true education plan had several components. It actually had teaching the word. It had medical missionary work, that's natural remedies and the things that we promote. It had the importance of publication, even back in the day when the only major publication was the Bible. And then it had true education, which was the education of the workers in all these things, including medical missionary work, including the learning of a trade, something that was practical that you could use to support yourself. You see, pastors are trained today to just bow down to whatever the conference says, and they don't have any skills so that if the conference asked them to do something that was unethical, something that was different than what the Lord says do, they have to have a job. And now that they have all this mounting thousands of dollars of debt due to student loans that they got to get those bachelor's degrees in theology and master's degrees of divinity, they're beholden and they're stuck, so to speak. And so God's plan of education was that they not be stuck, but that they be free, and they would work in the conference because they wanted to, not because they had to, and that God would bless the work, and that there would be no control, and that if they felt led to do some other ministry, they could support themselves. That's true education. That's the kind of education the disciples had. That's the kind of education Paul had. The Jews understood this, even though some of them were corrupt, and they taught trade. It was part of the Jewish economy that a young man would learn a trade, okay? Young women, too, would learn a trade. So Paul's trade was tent making, even though he was a PhD of his day. So when he could no longer work for the conference, no problem. He had to make tents, no problem. That's what he had to do. So Aquila was of the same craft, so they abode together and worked together. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And now watch this. This is important. And when they opposed themselves. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The reason why I teach the way I teach, the reason why I live the way I live, I want to be consistent. I might be a little crazy to some of you, that's fine, but I want to be consistent. I want my life to be in harmony with what I teach, and I want what I teach to be in harmony with everything inspiration teaches. It's not popular to live your life that way, but I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you don't live your life that way, you get caught in inconsistencies, and people will find inconsistencies. Like, you'll be preaching about love, but you're not loving people. See, I don't want to be inconsistent like that. You see, you might be preaching about we've got to be obedient to God and follow his word, but when God's word crosses something that you've been teaching that you cannot support, you just ignore it like it doesn't go. I don't want to live my life that way. I want to be an open book, brothers and sisters. Everything I teach, you all can bring it before me, let it be scrutinized, and so on and so forth. Like the noble Bereans that we read about in yesterday's chapter, it says, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Check out what your preacher teaches you, brothers and sisters. Check out what he teaches. Check out how he teaches. Sometimes men aren't always, and women, aren't always teaching what's wrong, but the emphasis that is often placed on things that will not get you into the kingdom, they need to check themselves. Brothers and sisters, we need to have the Spirit of the living God upon us. If you have the Spirit, it will be a spirit of love. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. Listen to this. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There might be another one. I forgot. But it says, against such there is no law. And then it talks about the works of the flesh. And one of those works of the flesh, brothers and sisters, was emulations that we have to get the victory over. Emulations is competition. A lot of us are caught up in sports and other things. That's not of God, my friend. They're not going to heaven. Do you know why they don't put microphones on the basketball court when you see them arguing about it? That's because they're saying things you wouldn't want your children to hear, okay, when they were young, okay? They're saying things that you would, and yet we watch them and we support them, and we have to be careful because that whole system of education was set up by the Jesuits, brothers and sisters. It was brought into education. Sports was a part of that. The greatest thing you could do in a Jesuit school was to outdo your classmate. The worst thing that could be done to you was to be outdone by your classmates. So that's why in the educational system you had competition to be valedictorian and salutatorian and so on and so on and so forth, my friend. It's not God's plan, just not. And I have to tell you the truth. True education. Jesus got that kind of education. He did not go to the schools of his day. He would not get a master's of divinity from the rabbis, because they weren't teaching what was true. He knew how to open the scriptures to the people and explain things in a simple and godly way, and it was with power, brothers and sisters. That's why they were astonished at his doctrine, the Bible says, because he preached to them with power. And when they came to when they sent a delegation to arrest him, the delegation came back like zombies. And they said, why didn't you bring him with you? They said, no man spake like this man. And the servant of the Lord says, no man spake like that man because nobody lived like that man. You see, if our life is consistent with our teaching, brothers and sisters, our teaching will be with power. And that's what God wants. And that's what will finish the work. It's not so much the fanciful, sensational that's going to finish the work. Yes, it'll get people excited. It'll get people scared. It'll get people saying, okay, what am I going to do? They're going to close up the economy, so on and so forth. But does it really build your faith, my friend, your faith in Jesus Christ? Okay, reading on. This is true education we're talking about. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the spirit. Oh, what we were talking about was, and when they opposed themselves. You see, when you are inconsistent, you oppose yourself. When you teach as a doctrine, a man-made commandment, you're opposing yourself. When you will not humble yourself to say, you know what, I've been teaching something that's not in the Bible, you oppose yourself. I'm not going to oppose myself, brothers and sisters. I'm going to teach what I teach because it's of the Lord. And if it's not, show me that it's not of the Lord. I'm willing to hear. Some men are not willing to hear if you want to share with them that what they teach is not of the Lord. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. from henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. There will come a point in time when God, the people who profess to be God's people, God's going to turn away from them and just give the gospel to others. That's what we saw with the Jewish nation. It went to the Christians, then from the Christians, which became Roman Catholic, it went to the Protestants, then from the Protestants, which had gotten hold of a Catholic principle, it went to the Adventists, and now, brothers and sisters, it's in within Adventism, it's the remnant. It's the remnant, those who are faithful within the Advent movement. You know, I didn't say a part of a particular church. I said within the Advent movement, believing and living your life like Jesus is coming soon, believing that Jesus is doing his final work, the most holy place, and being obedient to all his commandments and loving the people of God. You don't find that too much, brothers and sisters, but it's what's going to get us into the kingdom, and a lack thereof will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. We've got to love one another. Jesus said it many times when they said, Lord, what is the great commandment? He said, love. But if you love me, keep my commandments. So we have to keep the commandments, and we have to love people, brothers and sisters, not criticize people, not judge people, not ignore people for years. That's not godly. That's not godly, and God is nowhere in that. You can think you have a godly reason why you do the things you do and don't do the things you do. You won't find it in the Word. Jesus didn't do that, okay? Let's be like Jesus. You know, there's a beautiful, beautiful song, brothers and sisters, and let me see if I can't find it here. There's two. One is like this. Teach me, Father, what to say. Teach me, Father, how to pray. Teach me all along the way how to be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, to daily grow more and more like Jesus. He says, teach me as the days go by. Teach me not to reason why. Teach me that to do or die is to be like Jesus. Teach me that the time is short. Teach me how to live and work. Teach me that to never shirk is to be like Jesus. Teach me how we may be one like the Father and the Son. And when all is overcome, I will be like Jesus. Friends, we've got to be like Jesus. Another song, Be Like Jesus, this my song in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Friends, that's the kind of preaching we need. That's the kind of life we need. Let's read on. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Some people in the conferences are going to believe. Some people on high levels within the church are going to believe. Crispus was the chief ruler of the synagogue. He believed on the Lord. Praise God. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So God speaks to us when we are connected with him. He gives us dreams. He gives us visions. He gives us impressions. And he told Paul this was a safe place. He's got people in that city. Stay and teach. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You know, sometimes, we do an evangelistic meeting, we think, oh, we just did it for 2 or 3 weeks, everybody's supposed to join the church. And so we have to do emotional things to get them to join. We got to play music that's in the club to get them kind of spellbound, and when the music is good, they'll come for the music. And then, yeah, we'll teach them, and then when it's time to baptize them, we'll ask them to take off their jewelry so that nobody will say they got baptized with jewelry. We won't teach them about jewelry, but we'll just tell them that they need to take it off so it won't get wet. And then we hand them the jewelry back, and that's how the church is being built today in many circles. Now, we haven't had a talk about jewelry. I will just simply say that since I mentioned it, just so you know that there is some scripture about it, Let me just give you all a couple of scriptures real quickly that you can look at. If you go to 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." And when you look at the woman that was the whore of Revelation 17, it says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." So this is not a full study on that, but God wants us to shine from the heart. Talks about in the Bible the inner man, you know, emanating that light from the inner man. And so what happens is when we place a lot of emphasis on the outward adorning, it tends to create some pride in us and distracts from the inward adorning that we should be showing. So I just mentioned jewelry, not to get into that, so to speak, but since I mentioned it, I want to at least quote it from the scripture. But the point I'm making simply is that sometimes we don't do what Paul did. He took a whole year and a half to teach the people. We want to have a quick evangelistic meeting for a few weeks, sometimes a few days, and have people baptized, and then we move on. And these people don't even know Adam from Eve. And unfortunately, sometimes they don't know Adam from Steve. But the point is, brothers and sisters, it takes time. It takes time. Now, we don't have a lot of time, and so people will have to learn in a few months what's taken others years to learn, but we have to be actively, aggressively teaching the Word of God, doing evangelism, and God wants you to be a part of that, not just listen to preachers who are teaching. Okay, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them, and when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Now listen to this, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." When Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will not judge in such matters, of such matters." This probably wicked judge understood this is a church matter, and we should separate the church from the state. You see, it's the combination of the church and state. The Jews brought Paul to the Romans. And the Roman understood the separation of church and state, says, "This is not for me to judge in this matter. This is one of your issues. So if it's a matter of your religious faith, I'm not going to judge in that matter." He wouldn't even let Paul speak up. He heard the accusations against Paul, and he said, "I don't even want to hear your explanation. This is a church and state matter. I'm not going to be your judge." That was powerful, friends. That's why God put it in the Bible. Watch this. "And he drave them from the judgment seat." Get away from me, you Jews that want to bring me your religious matters and bring persecution upon the people of God. "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared not for none of those things." You see, because they were trying to kill Paul, revenge got taken on them. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's always best to do what's right. You reap what you sow. The world has this wrong way of saying it. They call it karma. But no, it's biblical. You reap what you sow. If you sow kindness and godliness and humility, it's going to come back to you, brothers and sisters. You know, I always tell this story of something that happened to me when I was in Walmart. And let me see what time it is. Okay, I think we're okay. This woman ran by, and another woman ran after her, and the second woman dropped her cell phone, and it went underneath the soda machine. And I kind of did one of my one-hand push-ups, and I don't know if I can still do that today, but, you know, did that one-hand push-up, and I used my other hand to reach for her phone, got the phone, and I start running after the woman. And by this time, both women came back. And one woman just, you know, they just casually walked back in. One woman was kind of holding the arm of the other woman. I knew nothing what was going on. I said, ma'am, you dropped your cell phone. She kind of looked at me interestingly, thanked me, and moved on. So that Walmart, at that Walmart months later, I had purchased something. And then I left the bag in the store. And I had to come back and say, oh, I left the bag. You ever done that? You know, paid for it. You bagged it yourself. Or even bagged it with a cashier bag, but you didn't take your bag. And so I left out and had to come back and said, listen, I don't know what to say, but I bought some things. I have my receipt, but I didn't take the bag. And they said, you need to see Ginger. That was her name, Ginger. I was like, Ginger, okay, they need to see Ginger. You come with me. And I saw this woman. She was just plain clothes, had no Walmart smock on or anything. They say, Ginger, this man said he had a bag, and he didn't get what was in his bag. And she just simply said, he's honest, give him his stuff. That's what she said. I remember her to this day. I remember Ginger, Caucasian, black hair, about 5'2", you know, medium build. I remember that woman. She said, he's honest, give him what he said he left. And I was shocked, so I said, excuse me, I am honest, and I appreciate that, but how do you know I'm honest? She looked around, she said, come with me. And she took me into a room. There was a man in the room, and inside that room, the whole wall had TV screen. She typed something in, ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She showed me myself doing a one-hand push-up. I saw two women run by. She showed me myself doing the one-hand push-up, grabbing her phone, going out, and then meeting her and handing her her phone. She was asset protection. That's a nice word for security. And they have everything on camera. And so she had seen that. And I mean, she knew that if I was not honest, I would have kept that cell phone. And so she said, this is what we do. We can watch people. And she showed me some other stuff and, you know, showed me some other people. She said, you remember that lady that was shoplifting yesterday? It was in the paper. I said, yeah, yeah. She typed some stuff in, and I actually saw the lady drop some stuff in her purse, you know, and then walk out the store. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, that might seem impressive to you, but let me tell you something. There is security in heaven. The angels are watching everything we do. The Holy Spirit is watching everything we do. They don't, artificial intelligence and all this surveillance, they don't have anything on God. God can have 16 soldiers that happened with Peter, remember? And he was tied to two of them with shackles. God had them see nothing, and gates were opening and they were walking out. Those soldiers saw nothing. God is stronger than this surveillance, brothers and sisters. So anyway, the bottom line is, we're talking about sustenance and you reaping what you sow. So because I had sowed a little bit of kindness, God brought that kindness back to me, and I didn't even know what was even going on. So brothers and sisters, do what is right at all times. You never know who's watching. You never know who you're blessing. The Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I had another situation. This is kind of crazy, but I had a relative that was a relative. She's actually a cousin of mine. And I went out, I didn't know that side of the family because it was on my father's side of the family. I actually wanted to meet my cousin. And so I went out there. She was very, very busy. It was during Christmas time. She actually worked at a Catholic school, and they were packing toys for the children. And you know what? I prayed about it. You know, I didn't see a violation of a principle. I'm just helping my cousin because she couldn't really spend time with me because she was busy packing toys for Christmas to hand out to poor people. So I said, okay, Lord said you can help her with that because you're witnessing to your cousin. So I did all that. So anyway, some things happened, and my cousin flipped on me. I mean, she just flipped on me. She got upset with me after I had left. And I thought it was a great meeting, and I come to find out that she thought that I had come to ask her for money and ask her. I was actually a guest speaker in that town. I was being put up in a hotel and all that. But there have been a lot of other relatives that had come, I guess, and taken advantage and thought she had some money or whatever. I don't understand. So to make a little peace, I actually sent my cousin. I said, listen, we have some words back and forth. I was like, you really think that? You know, it kind of got a little heated. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll bow out gracefully. I sent her some flowers. You know what my cousin did? She called the police. That I was stalking because I sent her some flowers. This is my cousin that I don't really know. And so I get a call. Now, I'm in another state. This person's in Arizona, and I'm back in Georgia at the time. And I get a call from the police, and they said, listen, we got a report, man, that, you know, you were stalking this woman or whatever, and so on and so forth. And I said, I told them what happened. They said, listen, you don't even need to say anything. We know who you are, Mr. Fleming. I said, you do? They said, yeah, we know who you are. Just leave. Just don't contact her anymore, which I wasn't. But the point being made is that, you know, you never know the influence you have. Those police officers knew who I was, and they knew I wasn't a stalker, okay? But they knew something was wrong with that situation. So they just said, we have authority to do something, but we're not. We know who you are. Just, you know, don't contact anymore, which I wasn't. So anyway, haven't talked to that cousin since. I understand she talked to a relative of mine, and they explained to her who I was, and that that was just the kind person that I am by the grace of God. And, you know, sometimes when you're kind, people, they just aren't used to kindness, brothers and sisters. And so when you're kind, they think you're up to something. I remember going to New York City, and I'm saying hi to people, and they're looking at me strange. They don't get people saying hi to them just out of kindness and say, hi, how are you doing? You've got to be up to something. You've got to want something from them in order to speak in a kind way in New York City, okay? Well, I don't want to live in New York City because I'm going to speak to people. So that's not a place for me to live, okay? So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is you reap what you sow. And those men had brought Paul to the judgment seat, and those men got beaten. And guess what? Galileo, who was the judge, didn't even stop them from beating the people that were trying to get Paul beaten up and killed, okay? Because he realized they deserved that because they were trying to get Paul punished. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a little good while, verse 18, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, I'm going to say this about this vow. Sometimes we can make vows that God didn't tell us to make. And before we finish the book of Acts, we're going to see Paul had that tendency. He did some things to please the Jews that it wasn't God's plan for him to do. And it actually cost him a premature death. He actually is going to be saved, but we can still, even in our salvation, try to do some things that please people that God has not told us to do. You see, there's a principle in the Bible. It says, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's people that you don't even give the gospel to because they're not going to, that you don't even try to bless because they can't receive it without causing you problems. Because the Bible says when you do it before, give your pearl, they're going to destroy the pearls and come and rend you too. So we have to be careful who we help. There are some people you just can't help, and your heart wants to help them, but their pride is so much, it's so heavy duty that God says you can't help them. They need to be humbled first. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And I will tell you, a lot of the times Paul's efforts to try to reach the Jews is what got him in trouble. And God wasn't always with him in all of those. God was with him, but God didn't always tell him to do some of the things he was doing. He was still doing out of the good of his heart. Can't you see? This is Christ. And they couldn't see. Their hearts were hardened, and Paul didn't understand that sometimes. And after he spent some time there, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Brothers and sisters, there are sincere people out there. They don't know all that you know, but they are teaching with power and fervency and love the things that they know, and God's going to teach them more at the appointed time. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had been delivered through grace. Which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That's Acts chapter 18, brothers and sisters. Let's go ahead and take a little break, and then we'll have a little short talk on the importance of teaching health principles. Let's pray. Father, be with us, bless us as we've learned these godly lessons. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, let's listen to the torso song, then we'll be back with a little health message, and then that will end our broadcast for today.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock. On our door we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Sorso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
We're talking about the importance of teaching health principles, and I want to say that people need to be taught. This is a direct quote from a book named Ministry of Healing, that drugs do not cure disease. It is true that they sometimes afford present relief and the people appear to recover as a result of their use. And it goes on to say that drugs change the form and location of the disease. And so, my brothers and sisters, you're not going to ever be healed by a drug. You can be healed in spite of a drug, but the drug does not cure you. People aren't cured by drug medication. If they were, they'd have to take the drug. They'd never have to take it again because they were cured. So what cures us is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 6:53, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That means the quickening power of God comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the one who heals. Even Jesus used the Spirit of God to heal. That's found in that chapter 12 of Matthew, where he said, if I heal you by the Spirit of God. And so we need God's presence. And God's not going to heal us if we're violating his law. So if you refuse to drink water, you eat meat and lots of dairy products, you're not taking in that which is health productive. And so we've got to teach the people how to live the way we ought to live. If we're couch potatoes and get no exercise, if we go to bed at whatever time of the night, burning the midnight oil, all that kind of stuff, it affects our body. So very, very important that we live free. Live free is a lifestyle that is an act. We use the Live Free acronym for that lifestyle. The L is love God. That keeps you from stressing out. The I is include temperance. That keeps you from drinking and smoking and other things and doing in moderation that which is good. The V is vital water. That means we drink our half our body weight in ounces at 150 pounds. I need 75 ounces of water a day. The E is eat healthy. That means a plant-based diet, whole food, plant-based diet, lots of fruits and vegetables. Make your food colorful, my friends. Build your meals around salads. Eat two meals a day unless you're doing heavy physical labor. You may need a third meal in that case. Nothing wrong with three. Just don't overeat, and the last meal should be light. Give up dairy. Give up the flesh of dead animals. Friends, it's not good for you. And then eat more from the ground, more natural. Organic is best. The F in Live Free is fresh air. We need to get out in the fresh air. You see it outside. I don't know how good you can see through the window, but lots of wonderful fresh air here in the country. The R is rest. We need to get to bed by 9:30. The E in free is exercise. We've got to get out and get plenty of exercise. Walking is the best. Active labor outside, gardening is another good way to get exercise. And then the final E is enjoying sunlight. And from there, you get vitamin D and melatonin. Very good for you. So that's the Live Free lifestyle. And we have to teach these principles and teach people to avoid those things that are harmful to the body. And God will bless the efforts that we put forth. And souls will be won because you're able to reach the heart because you can help the body. All right, my friends, that is the importance of teaching health principles. At this point in time, we've got a few minutes to the top of the hour. Let's do roll call. From Facebook, we have Alabama, we have North Carolina, we have South Carolina, we have, not sure where Sister D is from. There you have, we have Louisiana, we have Virginia, and we have, I'm not sure where Clint is from as well. So if you want to say where you're from, just go ahead and type it in. We'd love to know. On the call, we have Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We like to say that Delaware is well aware. And then we have New Jersey and Georgia. God bless you. As far as the phone lines are open, if you have any comments, please feel free. We have on Facebook some good mornings from Louisiana. Got some good words from Brother Peyton, good mornings and those kinds of things. And that's what we have on Facebook. And if there's anyone else that likes to say anything, just please press star 6. At this time, we'd love to entertain your comments, questions, anything you'd want to share. All right, my friends, well, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. At this time, we will have our closing prayer, and then after closing prayer, have our closing song. Sweetheart.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. And now we ask that your spirit will continue to abide with us throughout this day as we ultimately do service unto you. We ask that you can help us, Lord, to be convicted of the things that we need to be gaining victory over so that we can be faithful to you with a pure heart, a pure mind, and a pure faith. We ask that you will bless us with healing of spiritual, mental, and physical.
Let us be strong vessels for you in these last days and able to hasten your return as we co-labor with you in your harvest. Help us to be convicted of the things we need to be convicted of, and help us to gain the victory that was won for us on Calvary. And Lord, we pray that you would be with everyone, especially those that are going through trials and tribulations. We know that there's so much that the devil is doing to keep us discouraged, to keep us depressed, to keep us in a state of despondency. And we just pray, Lord, that we can gain that victory. We can trust in your everlasting strength. We can hold on true to the promises that you have given us in your word, and that we can believe that you are able to keep us from falling. Lord, we ask that you would do all that you can to help your people, because so many are asleep. Keep us awake, Lord, is our prayer to you. We pray all these things knowing that you have heard us and knowing that it's been answered. And we thank you for it. We love you much, and we cannot wait to spend time with you. Please come for us, Lord, is our prayer to you this morning. But we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. To my God, to my God, to my God.